Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on BBSRadio.com. We're the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. Say that three times in a row. And while I have your attention, go ahead and get out a pencil and a piece of paper. I'm going to give you some phone numbers, and for you folks in Canada, a new number to call in. This is an uninterrupted hour of fun and conversation. Tonight we have Kramer Wetzel, K-R-A-M-E-R, Wetzel, W-E-T-Z-E-L. He is a wonderful metaphysician and astrologer. You can find him on www.astrofish.net. Think of the fish and the net, and that'll help you remember it. Kramer, welcome.
Yeah. Hello.
I'm so glad that you're here. We had Kramer scheduled. Kramer was with me once before on another radio program, and he was to be my good luck charm, to be my first guest again, but something happened and he couldn't be. So this is where we're sliding him in one other time since then. Last time we were together, you said something about Saturn going into Virgo and causing big changes. Do you want to talk about that tonight?
That's what I really was hoping we could talk about.
Go for it. Tell us about it.
No, I've looked at this on a microcosm, but I haven't looked at this in the big picture yet. And I don't know how to go about addressing this at this point. That's what I'm sort of feeling my way along with this. I did a little bit of historical research. I looked at the last time we had Saturn in Virgo, which was like 1978 to about 1980, and looking at some of the events that were occurring then and some of the things that have happened since then, too. And just trying to get like a little bit of a feel on what's going on here and what we have to look forward to. Like I say, I address this week by week in a horoscope, and that's one of the ways that I go about handling this. But on a global scale, I don't know what we're really looking at just yet. And I hope we can sort of feel this out a little bit right now.
Okay. Well, while you're looking up at your notes, let me give you phone numbers. USA folks, call us at 1-877-270-8714. Let me give that to you again, 877-270-8714. In Canada, here's your new number, 1-888-288-4494. Isn't that a cool number? I love that number, 1-888-288-4494. Have to put a 1 in front of both of those. Remember, this is an uninterrupted hour. We have Kramer all hour long, so please call in with your questions. You could consider some of your questions mini readings if you would like. If you have your birth date and your time and place. Yes, time and place. That helps him a lot, although he is magical in finding, you know, if you say...
Determining what somebody's numbers are without any... I can't rely too heavily on the computer.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's one of the tricks that you have to learn when you're in this business. You know, what the computer can do and what the computer can't do, too. I've been working so long as an astrologer, when I'll sit down with somebody, I'll just start, like, firing stuff off even before I've actually calculated the chart, just getting some general material out of the way.
Well, you're good at that. You're just that's why I say you're just such a good metaphysician. You don't call yourself a psychic, but I think of you as a psychic.
Oh, don't give me a label.
You use your astrology as a great tool, but you're such a sensitive individual. That's why I think of you that way. You can tell a whole lot about a person, like you just said, before you ever get the birth and date, which I think is wonderful. Okay, what are we doing with Virgo?
First, you have to understand, Virgo is a earth sign, but it's also a mutable sign, so it's the least grounded of all the earth signs. And, here in Central Texas, where we are, here in Central Texas, we've had more rain this year than we've seen than there's ever been recorded before at all. I mean, more rain than we've ever had recorded since they've been taking weather measurements. So we're sitting on top of a, you know, dirt that's really very malleable right now. The surface of the planet itself, the little thin skin that we live on. is very malleable. It's quite, it's porous. It's almost, I was thinking about this when I was walking today. You know, looking at places where there was a puddle yesterday and today there's not a puddle, and, you know, if it rains again tonight, which it probably will, there will be a big puddle there again tomorrow. And the water's soaking in. Anyway, you have to imagine that it creates mud, or it's like being on the wet sand at the beach. You know, when you're at the beach, the top part of the sand is dry, but you dig down a little bit and get the wet sand?
Uh-huh.
It's very much like that wet sand. So we're dealing with this right now. This is when we think of Earth, we think of something that's really solid. But you have to understand that it's really kind of mobile and moving and can be formed. It's a lot like wet clay. We can work with it as we want. Saturn's going to come along and mold some of this wet clay, too.
Oh, I like that phrase.
Real good for the Earth signs, okay? I have one simple word of advice for my little Virgos right now. Whatever it is that you've been avoiding, now is the time to stop avoiding it. This is going to be thrown in our face by next Monday morning.
Ooh.
Well, if it's something that you've been avoiding, you've been meaning to do, but been putting it off, it catches up with you. All right?
Now, are you saying this just to Virgos or in general?
Well, pretty much I'm addressing this to the Virgos.
Okay.
There's also people born between, let's say, about 1976 and 1977. People born in there who are going to be hitting their first Saturn return at this time, too. You know, it's going to be affecting those people as well. You know, they've got issues that they meant to deal with that they didn't quite deal with yet.
So now's the time.
Now's the time. Especially my poor little 77 babies.
Let me back up a minute and talk about the water, or ask you a question.
All right. Now, before we go any further, water represents emotion.
Right.
Okay. What's the question?
Well, that's what I was getting at. If the world is getting so much water, is it because we need more sensitivity? Is it because we're needing to express ourselves in a different kind of emotion? Is it spirituality? Because water also represents spirituality. So is it a sign that our world as a whole, or where we're getting all this water? And it's not just here in Texas. We're having ice caps melt. We're having, look at the hurricanes. I mean, they're picking up water and dumping things. So could that be a representation of our needs?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this, that people become more sensitive when it rains. Do we become more sensitive when it rains because we're shut off from the sun and we're usually indoors and we're in a close environment? Or do we become more sensitive because the water's actually falling from the sky? I don't know which one it is. I was pondering that one, going, you know, this weather's really been depressing with all these clouds, but I've been doing some great work. Is this good or not? You know, which way do you take that?
Yeah, I was thinking about that sometime in the last month. I was doing some meditating, and, of course, I'm hearing the rain outside. And wondering,
now, is the rain depresses me. It means I can't be outside. Well, I can, but I'd rather not. And so rain depresses me, but does it really depress me, or is it just getting me in touch with some more emotional stuff that I need to be in touch with?
Well, you know me, I'm a Leo. I got to have my sunshine.
Yeah. So we had enough of this rain already, thank you. Of course, this is all that rain that we prayed for the last 10 years.
Well, we're certainly getting it. It's filling our lakes, that's for sure.
I think some of the lakes are at record capacity now.
Yeah, and here in Austin, even Town Lake, or the newly renamed Town Lake.
Lady Bird Lake.
Yeah. Is still way high, higher than I've ever seen it. There for a while, they were discouraging you from even walking on the paths.
Yeah, there are parts of the path that were underwater at one point.
Mm-hmm. They were.
I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this has happened too. Of course, I saw the 100-year flood 3 times in the last 10 years. So, you know, I'm thinking they did some of their accounting on the 100-year flood. I'm thinking they did some of this a little bit backwards. I don't think they got it quite right. But that makes sense. What they were guessing was 100 years, I think it'll happen a little bit more frequently than that. All right.
Well, and, you know, for
this is going on, and this is a form of cleansing. It's just like the wildfires in California 1 year. It's a form of cleansing.
Well, look what happened in Greece.
Yeah. It's a form of cleansing.
Yeah. And it's not just California. It's Greece and other parts of the United States. And we're not through with that.
There are other parts of the country right now.
Right.
I was in Chicago. Oh, this is hilarious to me. And I'm sorry, I have a little bit of a sick and twisted sense of humor, but it was just really, really funny to me. I was in Chicago, and they were complaining about 70-mile-an-hour winds, and 70-mile-an-hour winds, and 6 inches of rain in 24 hours. That's happened 3 times down here. You know, I've got some surfing friends, and when you talk about 70-mile-an-hour winds and 6 inches of rain, they're grabbing their boards and headed down to the coast because the waves are tasty.
Are wonderful.
Yeah, so, but in the Northeast, this was fairly traumatic.
What makes Saturn in Virgo such a big deal? Tell us what Saturn is individually.
Saturn's all about, it makes it a big deal because, it's been in Leo, and you guys have had nothing but hard work.
Yeah.
Hard work, and fortunately, Leo being a fixed sign, it may be a fire sign, but you're a fixed sign. Fortunately, with Leo, what's going on is you guys have been, put your shoulder into it, keep your nose to the grindstone, push against that wheel, and you guys have been willing to do that, and you've done a good job with it.
Is that why I felt this great big sigh of relief lately?
Is this why you what?
Felt this great big sigh of relief lately because Saturn is gone?
Yeah, it just went in on September 2nd. It just started this weekend.
Wow.
Labor Day weekend, you're going to look back. Now, there's a kicker to it because there's a little accent point that comes up, and that's actually next Monday and Tuesday. And the accent point is just like a little bit of it's going to be a tension angle between Jupiter, which is in Sagittarius, and Mars, which is in Gemini on the opposite side. And then we've got a new moon, which is our dark of the moon, which is going to be in Virgo. And on the opposite side, we've got the planet Uranus. And all that is going to, sort of just set this up add a little kick to this big party that we've got started in Virgo.
Which means good things?
It
are getting rid of the
what
negative.
What you do with it.
Huh?
Now,
okay.
For two signs, it's really just going to be a lot of good stuff.
Okay.
Our Tauruses and our Capricorns, especially the Capricorns, have got real good stuff headed their way. Now, our Leos, too. You guys have got, it can take up to 3 years for everything that you've worked on for the last 3 years to fall into place. All right?
Okay.
Last 3 years have been a trial, and the next 3 years it's about putting all these pieces back together. You know, they told you it was going to be good. Now you get to see whether it's going to be good or not.
I want it to be good.
Yeah. I want it to be good for you. Believe me.
This Leo deserves it. I've been working hard.
Yeah. One of the big lessons that I'm working with I got a lot of people that have got stuff that's between 0 degrees and 5 degrees of Virgo that are all cropping up right now and all cropping up with problems. And what I'm doing is I'm working with them on learning a little bit of patience because that's what Saturn is here to teach, patience. You know, there's the old rub about Saturn, about you pray for patience so the universe gives you something to be patient about.
Kind of sticks everything in your face and says,
yeah.
Here, learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I learned that lesson. Well, apparently not. It's here to test you one more time.
Yeah. Folks out there, let me give you those phone numbers again. USA, call 1-877-270-8714. Canada, your new number, 1-888-288-4494. Okay. When I got an email about two moons that were supposed to happen on the 27th of August.
Yeah.
Planet Mars will be the brightest in the night sky starting in August. It will look as large as a full moon.
That's an old urban myth.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you about. This will cultivate when Mars comes within da-da-da-da-da miles of the Earth. So we really didn't have two moons.
No.
Okay, I got that email and went, whoa, got to ask Kramer about that.
That's why I love the urban myth people.
Okay.
That's what I like about, there's an electronic version now of urban myth that kicks in. And I really enjoy that version, too, stuff that gets circulated via email. I'm trying another, I'm going to try this, I don't know when I'm going to try this, but I understand if you wear a lab coat, it ends a air of, like, authority. All I have to do is put on a lab coat and I can act like an expert. And you'll believe whatever it is that I say.
You know, that might work. You know, wear one to the next psychic fair and see what kind of reaction you get.
Yeah, we'll see.
Put one of those pocket things that has all the pins in it, you know, that always, with a ruler sticking out of it.
Mm-hmm. Now,
see what happens. So if you had to say one thing about Saturn in Virgo, about the world or world politics, what would we look for?
Well, we've got something else that's going to tag into this a little bit later this year. And we've got Jupiter, which is in Sagittarius right now, about 12 degrees. And it's going to be moving on into, Jupiter's going to move on into Capricorn. And we also have, beginning of next year, we're going to have Pluto move into Capricorn for a little while, too. Well, what we're doing is we're getting an emphasis on Earth. And what we need to do is clean up our attitude a little bit. And sometimes it's not the big things, it's the little things. And it's attention to little details some days. Gas is, what, $2.50, $3 a gallon now? It's a matter of cutting back on some of our car rides, doing little things to help save the planet. Not necessarily big things, but little things.
Okay. So you're saying that we can look, so what you're saying is that we need to be concentrating on planet Earth the rest of this year.
Concentrate on planet Earth a little bit, but look at some of the more minute things that we can do. Adjust the thermostat.
Right.
One of the things I did here is I found a very inexpensive thermostat on a timer. So during the daytime, temperature goes up to about 80 degrees in here. We don't burn AC as much. Now, ostensibly, that's to lower the electric bill. What it really does in the long run is it reduces the amount of energy that I use on a yearly basis. And it's little things like that that go a long way towards
helping us. And if you folks out there don't know how to do that, you can always check with your local electric companies. And sometimes even the fire stations will have booklets. And
there are a number of resources for this, and that's just one small example. But that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's the small examples. And sometimes it's the small things that we do. It could be something as simple as that. Now, that's to reduce my electric bill is why I'm doing that. Let's be honest.
But it does help the large picture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's paying attention to just little details along the way that's quite useful.
It's just like spending gas. You know, you set out your routines, get as much done as you can in one swing of one day rather than going home, doing an errand, running home, doing an errand. So you save your gas, you save your pocketbook, and you save gas.
Exactly.
Yeah. So all of that stuff helps. What else can we expect with Saturn in Virgo?
Fortunately, Virgo being a mutable sign, like I said, it's an Earth sign, but it's a mutable sign. And we're going to have some changes, but the other Earth signs, for example, Capricorn and Taurus, are both going to get a little boost from this. Put your head down and push forward, and you'll see that they start making headway a whole lot easier. Especially my Taurus people. As long as Saturn has been in Leo, last 2.5 years, they've at one point or another they've been squared. The Taurus stuff has been squared by Saturn, and that's created an obstacle. And being good Taurus individuals, they keep plugging away at that obstacle, and it just doesn't seem to give. Saturn throws obstacles up at us. What we do is we just sit back a little bit and watch, and some of that hard work, you've been chipping away at a problem, and some of that hard work finally starts to pay off. Start to see results. You don't see results overnight, but results start to happen.
Slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is essentially just keep on keeping on.
Yeah. And engage some of this energy, too.
I had a
brilliant example the other day. You know, I walk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I try to get around. Prefer that. I don't even own a car right now. So, and when I'm out walking, I'm real big on pedestrian rights and following the rules of the road and that sort of thing. Well, I jaywalk so that I can still be a rebel. Anyway, I was in a crosswalk. I was downtown, I was in a crosswalk, and, you know, I had the little walk sign going. And I could see out of my peripheral vision that the car was going to turn right in front of me. Now, according to the Texas Driver's Handbook, when a pedestrian is in the crosswalk, the pedestrian has the right-of-way. Now, let's do the math on this. 4,000-pound car, 200-pound astrologer, the odds aren't in my favor.
No.
I paused and let the car go in front of me, okay? And they violated my right-of-way. They broke the law. But, you know, like I said, it's not very difficult math. Figure out they weighed a lot more than me, and they could do a lot more damage to me than I could do to them. Once the car got almost all the way past me, I just reached out. I was very irritable at the moment, and I reached out and I slapped the flank of the car, the rear quarter panel. It was a little passenger car. I just slapped it with my open palm. I slapped it hard enough that it stung and it made a lot of noise, and, you know, I got the attention of a lot of people. But the car was already past me at that point, and, you know, they're looking in the rear view trying to figure out, did they hit a pedestrian or not, and, you know. What's the correct thing to do? What's the correct course of action in this situation? What I did was I expressed my anger. I did it in an appropriate fashion, and I would be happy for that car driver to stop and, you know, back up and want to talk to me about me damaging their car. I slapped it with an open palm, so there was no damage done to the car whatsoever. All it did was make a loud noise. Sort of shocked them a little bit. And I felt like I was hitting a car, so, you know, I got something out of it myself. Let's face it, I'm human.
I hope it scared them.
I was taking it on. But what I did is it's finding the correct course of action here. How can you make a statement without endangering myself or hurting anybody else? Like I said, I didn't damage the car at all. And when they looked in the rear view, I didn't flip them off, which is what I wanted to do, but I didn't, because that's not...
Well, what bothers me is that when they heard the loud noise, they didn't stop. They could have hurt someone. They don't know whether they did or not.
Didn't pause to think.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe next time they'll yield to the pedestrian like the law requires them to do. Makes it even better. It was right by a courthouse.
I'm glad you're still walking.
The right thing to do here.
Okay.
And notice I waited until the car was past me. I could have probably popped them in the front bumper too, but that's, you know, all I wanted to do was make a statement without endangering myself or causing any kind of permanent damage to anybody else. Now, I did slap it hard enough that my hand stung a little bit, but that was, like, satisfying in a strange way. I'm not a masochist or a sadist or anything like that, so it didn't make a lot of sense to me, but it was oddly reassuring.
What else do you want to tell us about Saturn or Saturn being in Virgo?
I hope people don't think it's because Saturn's in Virgo that you go out and start slapping cars. Be very careful about the fights you pick.
Yeah.
You may have to back that up.
Be selective with our fights. That's for sure.
Exactly. That's part of what's important here. Be very selective about. There's a correct way to do this, and there's an incorrect way to do it. Me standing there in front of the cars is not really good. Even though I have the right of way, isn't going to do me a lot of good.
Especially if you get hit.
Uh-huh. There's another example that I like to use, and I've used it in my horoscopes before. This happened in Austin on the hike and bike trail. I noticed in the distance there were two bicyclists, and their heads were down, and they were talking to each other, and they were furiously pumping their bicycles, and they were coming at us at a fairly high rate of speed. And there was a jogger behind me, and going in the other direction, coming towards me, and the bicyclists were coming towards me. And you can see how this is all going to have a really comic effect where they're all going to meet at the same place at the same time. And me as a pedestrian, I was walking. Once again, I have the right of way. But what's the prudent course of action here? I just stepped off the trail and let them all go running one way and zooming by on their bicycle the other way. Attempted to throw an elbow out, but, you know, that would hurt me as much as it would hurt them. And as long as we're dealing with this Virgo stuff, and the Saturn in Virgo, sometimes just stepping out of the way, stepping right out of harm's way is the easiest way to deal with this. There's a place to make a stand, and there's a way to make a stand. You got to watch that.
With Saturn in Virgo, what are the characteristics of Saturn individually? Just by itself.
Saturn individually, this is tough. It works on the etheric plane, and it works in the real world. It's kind of a bridge between, like, the voodoo world, the spiritual world, if you will.
Okay.
And hard, cold reality.
Is it a balancer?
What?
Does it create a balance, or does it upset the balance?
It gives us a balance to strive for.
Okay.
One of the things that I watch with Saturn, one of the early Greek astrologers said Saturn was very easy to predict by. And the reason Saturn was so easy to predict by is because Saturn was, you could just take one look at it and figure out where it was and what's going on and predict bad things are going to happen. And it's real simple. And that's nice, but that's also an easy way out. What it does is it highlights where we need to work.
Okay, that's key for me. Highlights where we need to work.
Yeah, what needs our attention right now? What should we be expending energy on?
Okay.
I've been watching. I do a lot of personal consultations, and I've seen quite a few cancer individuals lately. And they're all going, you know, they're cancer. They're the sign of the crab, and they've been in their shell ever since Saturn was there. And Saturn's long past them. It's been 2 years now, and 2-3 years. And it's like the last couple of years, things have really started to blossom for them. And most of the cancers that I'm dealing with are coming up, going, is it okay to come out now? A couple of years ago, things were really bad. I don't know. Is it okay? Yeah, it is. Whatever.
Once you get in the habit of trying to hide, you kind of stay there, right?
Yeah. If you with Saturn, you can't best it. You can't wrestle it to the ground, and you can't, like, go hand to hand with this particular planet and win. What you can do, though, is engage its energy. What it likes is a lot of patient, focused energy in one direction.
Focus energy in one direction. So pick something that's important to you.
Yeah.
One thing at a time, maybe.
Exactly. One thing at a time. It's also one step at a time. This is coming up on one of my horoscopes soon. I hope I'm not giving it away, but one of the things that I was saying, it was such a rich metaphor and such an easy way to deal with this. is I was looking through the quick instructions. It was probably a gadget I got, and it has a big book of instructions, and then it has the little CD that says, for people, and it's got the little README file. This is for the people who don't read instructions. It was labeled like that. For people who don't read instructions, read this.
That's me.
And, yeah, it's, I'm a guy. It's definitely me. Just plug it in and mess with it before we do anything. Maybe break it and have to go buy another one. That's the way it is. Anyway, I started reading the instructions, and it said, first, make sure you got all the parts that you need before you plug this thing in. I thought that was really obvious, but I started going through the box, and, you know, I didn't have the right little cable connector thing. And I had to run out to the store and get another cable connector thing that would fit. You know, that was a really good piece of advice. I like that, and so I'm using it, and I'm passing that on. Start at the beginning. Make sure you got all the parts before you start trying to assemble it. Before we tackle whatever this is that Saturn's bringing in, make sure we got all the pieces we're going to need.
How do we know that? How do we know when we have everything we need?
For lack of better words, read the instructions.
Well, yeah,
or look at the little exploded diagram and see that it's there's a 5/16 little nut there, and, you know, we can use an adjustable wrench on it, but it'd probably be better to have a 5/16 socket.
That's okay if you're working with a material thing, but when you're talking about things and decisions that you have to make about your life, sometimes you make a decision and you act on it, and then 3 days later something happens, and you say, well, if I'd known that to begin with, you know, it's things like that are frustrating and confusing.
Did you think it all the way through is my question.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's,
of course,
that's
I was confronted. It's not like this hasn't happened to me. I was confronted with this question before one time. A particular female said, did you think about that before? And I was mute. No, actually, I hadn't thought about that.
You're probably right on, because 9 times out of 10, it isn't something, maybe it's something we didn't know that needed to be thought about.
Yeah.
Or maybe it really is a little piece of information that nobody bothered to tell us.
Exactly.
You know, that's when it's frustrating. That's when you...
Well, if I had known that...
Yeah. Yeah, if I'd known that,
now,
I would have...
That's where it helps to have somebody to run ideas past. Now, that's one of the most important things that we do as readers. And sometimes we sit there and listen, and it's just like we can find flaws in the great plan.
I call those the what-if sessions.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is now called coaching.
Okay.
It's a new word for the same old thing. And it's what we do. It's called coaching.
You know, they say that readers are, or I've heard this term before, that readers are the most underpaid psychiatrists/psychologists/counselors ever.
Yeah.
And we don't have degrees for any of those things, but quite often we ask the same questions of our clients that they would ask.
Yeah.
So I had a client tell me that many, many moons ago, 30-plus years ago. So made me think I wanted to be a therapist, and then I rethought that and decided, no, I don't want to do that. So, yeah. Folks out there, that phone number to call Kramer Wetzel, my favorite astrologer, is 1-877-270-8714. That's for USA. For Canada, 1-888-288-4494. We have about 15, 20 more minutes of Kramer's time. It is uninterrupted time. So give us a call. Ask him a question. You can ask him a personal question. You can ask him something about astrology. If you need some help, he's a good teacher. Get some ideas. You can also find him on www.astrofish.net. I love that website name. He's got
yeah.
a great website. It's fun. It's a fun website. You'll enjoy his writing style. He's a lot of fun. After Saturn, how long will Saturn be in Virgo?
We've got about 3 years of this.
3 years?
Oh, yeah. Well, Saturn doesn't move real fast. Saturn gets up to about 8 degrees of Virgo, stops, slides back down, stops about 1 or 2 degrees of Virgo, then turns around, and goes forward again. And we've got Saturn in Virgo, and I will look at a book if I can find some glasses. I'll look at a book and tell you exactly how long it is. I think we got it till 2010, if I recall. I'm doing that off the top of the head, and I might have that wrong.
You know, from what you've been telling me about finding focus and all that sort of thing, you would think that even on a subconscious level, folks in power, scientists, that sort of thing, might be able to use this time, even unknowingly, to really focus on a better quality of life, like in the medical profession, the research people, politically,
yeah,
to get a better bead on good things for our world.
Well,
I like to think that anyway.
Sometimes it's not the big things, it's the little things. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be like big changes that we make. I've been a big proponent of the walking neighborhood for a long time. I want to live walking distance of a grocery store. I want to live walking distance of everything that one needs.
Yeah.
That doesn't work in every line of work, but
Boy, it's sure working here in Austin. I know you've been gone from Austin for a while now, but while you were even still here, our town is becoming neighborhood-oriented.
Yeah.
More and more little grocery stores are popping up, diners, barber shops, beauty shops, things that we would routinely need. Even flower shops, cigar shops, little liquor stores, they're becoming the neighborhood corner place again.
Yeah.
And yes, we still have the need for Walmart and Targets and Penny's and those kind of places, and they still tend to be out a little bit, but our more day-to-day wants and needs, the taco stands and the bagel places, and they're within blocks of a lot of the new areas. I don't know if a lot of people out there listening know that Austin is becoming a condo heaven, but a lot of apartments and condominiums in the downtown areas, the very, very urban, very urban.
Yeah.
And I'm understanding that that's
a trend. Well,
yeah.
One of my clients just emailed me a couple of days ago that Austin's the number one empty nester destination.
You know what?
The empty nesters are the ones that, you know, the kids are finally out and gone.
Yeah, but Austin's been a big retirement town for a long time because we had Bergstrom Air Base here. And
yeah,
guys would come here and love Austin, go away, do their duty, and come back here and retire. And for a long time, our town was, when I was a teenager, and that was a long time ago, 50-plus years ago, our town was a university slash retirement slash Bergstrom town.
Yeah.
Of course, now it's a mini Silicon Valley kind of place, but a lot's been added to it. But people are still, it's continued. The empty nester thing is very definitely alive here in Central Texas. And I bet San Antonio is somewhere in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the cost of living and...
The cost of living and the quality of Tex-Mex.
Yeah, and the culture. Yeah, the culture there, yeah. But that seems to be spreading all over, broadening out. Dallas, Houston, Fort Worth, even those towns are becoming more and more
Dallas
urban.
Dallas has already got the urban living has already happened there.
Yeah, and it's...
I was at a dinner party and they were talking to a couple. You know, that's what they were doing is they were... They had moved into, kids are gone, and they've got a two-bedroom place.
Yeah.
One bedroom for them and one guest bedroom for one kid at a time.
I'm seeing that. I also do real estate, and I'm seeing that more and more, even with what we call the California style, that are just full of steel and concrete and movable
yeah,
walls. And it's really interesting to stand there and watch a contractor move the walls around so that you can create bigger living rooms, another bedroom. They're just amazing. They're very expensive, and they're usually three stories with a widow's walk or a patio, sometimes two. But they're so creative. They are not one of my favorite pieces of real estate. I'm just fascinated by the design elements in
yeah,
them. And they're geared towards just that. If you're retired or semi-retired, you have an office, but it can move those magical walls around, you have another bedroom.
Yeah.
Or a huge living room if you need it. And sometimes the living room, everything is one great big open area, but you can move the walls around to create an enclosed kitchen. They're fascinating to me, but not my style to live in.
Somebody who's younger than us.
Yeah. Yeah, not quite my style to live in. I appreciate concrete. My home has concrete floors, but I'm not one into movable glass walls. The first time I saw the guy punch the button and start moving things into place, I'm going, what? What is he doing? You know, it's fascinating. These design works are fascinating, but they're geared towards the empty nester or the young couple with no babies.
Yeah.
Who can afford them. They're terribly expensive. And more and more of our mansions in this area are becoming apartment/condos.
Mm-hmm.
For that very reason. Okay, folks, keep calling in. We're running out of time. Kramer, tell us what else you want to tell us tonight about whatever planet is going to affect us.
The big thing is watching what's going to happen. Now, our mutable signs are going to feel some tension. However, we're also immutable, and we're a little bit more adapted to going with the flow when we hit this kind of tension from Saturn. Immutable signs are, of course, Virgo and Gemini and Sagittarius and Pisces. Pisces is going to have Saturn opposite them. And when Saturn's opposite you, what it is that in the next couple of years, the Pisces are going to come face-to-face with a test.
Okay. I'm making notes.
They have to decide whether they've done the right thing or not.
Glad I don't have to look at that right now. Not into testing.
And the next one, let's see, that's the Pisces. The Sagittarius and the Gemini, at one point, I'm anticipating that it's going to square me, and I'm anticipating what's going to happen is I'm going to come face-to-face with some kind of a situation where I have to decide whether I've made the right decision or not. You know, did I do the right thing at this particular moment? Or is my career following the correct path? Have I made a wise choice with some of my career moves? What can I do better? I do very limited marketing with what I do. However, I have started sending out postcards to let people know when I'm going to be in town, when I'm in one of the various places that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
And at least in the past, this has proven to be very, very effective for me.
Postcards are good.
A real simple step, okay? It's a real basic step. It's real simple. The cost is almost negligible. I'm thinking, you know, the biggest expense I have is the price of a postcard stamp. And yet the benefits, I'm getting like about 60, 70, 80% return on these things. That's like incredible marketing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I used to send out postcards all the time. I'd have them printed up with like two shows or something on it. And I'd send out 600 to 800 cards and always got a good return on it. And I haven't done that in years, but I send out the email newsletters now.
Yeah.
I don't even get addresses anymore unless somebody doesn't have a computer.
Yeah. But the postcards I have found to be more effective than anything else.
They're wonderful.
That's the sort of thing that I'm looking at with Saturn sitting where it is. Is this a particular avenue that I want to continue?
I would say yes.
Yeah. But I'm not doing hundreds. I'm doing, you know, I'm doing double digits, not triple digits.
Well, if it works for you, that's all that's important.
Yeah.
You figure one person is going to tell 5 to 10 more.
Yeah.
And then they tell, and if, yeah. It's good. I used to even put a little discount if you brought the card in.
Yeah.
And if it was a small show, I'd say free for one good entry or something, and then I'd pay the producer for their entry.
Yeah.
So.
But that's the sort of thing that I would look at with this. What's effective and what's not effective? And it's a matter of just like figuring out which parts of the puzzle we need and which parts we really don't need.
Before we go,
life throws a bunch of stuff at us, and we've got to figure out which pieces are going to be important and which pieces probably don't belong to our puzzle.
Experience also helps us with that.
Yeah.
Plain old life's experience. When does Mercury go into retrograde again?
Mercury goes retrograde October 15th and stays retrograde until basically October 31st, and it's going to be retrograde in Scorpio.
Oh, God. Tell people what that means.
We're going to be dealing with some very cranky Scorpio people. How about that?
Is it true that Scorpios can be very bitey and tacky and mean?
I'd go with the mean.
Go with the mean, okay.
So
you don't want to have a Mercury in...
experience. I'm never going to date another Scorpio ever again. Dated one, that's all it takes. The wound is still fresh.
Uh-huh. I don't know that I've ever dated a Scorpio.
Don't. Just take my word for it.
I've always read about Scorpio men and Scorpio women and thought, I don't think I want to go there.
Exactly.
So I think the universe has protected me from that. Thank goodness. So we have to, when Mercury's in retrograde, public out there, that means that Mercury slows things down and confuses things and miscommunications.
Yeah, when Mercury goes retrograde, I did a website for a client. When Mercury was retrograde, she had to have it when Mercury was retrograde, so every change on that website took three times as long. I would fix one thing, and then something else would break, and then I would fix one more thing, and then something else would break, and, you know, it was a constant battle. Or it's not a battle. I didn't take it as a battle because I knew that Mercury was retrograde, and I just knew that, you know, I would correct one thing, and there would be another problem that would pop up over here. And I'd correct that thing, and then I'd have to go over there. And at one point, I corrected the same, there was a typographical mistake in some material that she had sent me. So it wasn't even my own error, but I corrected that three times and would update it, and then somehow it crept back in and kept creeping back in. It can be very frustrating. I'm an astrologer. I knew that Mercury was retrograde. All I would do is laugh about it and say, you know, it's going to take three times as long.
But you hung in there and did it anyway.
Well, yeah, they had to have it, you know. Mercury was retrograde. I wasn't doing anything else at the time. Might as well. I also was aware that, you know, that I have to watch the newspapers. There's a better-than-average chance that you'll find more typographical mistakes. I mean, straight-up typos. Misspelled words run together, that kind of problem.
Well, I hope Pam finishes the website before October then.
October 15th.
Yeah, I'll have to call her, send her an email and say, October 15th, please be finished by October the 10th or the bulk of it. Did you know that the porno industry discovered my website?
No.
Oh, yeah, it was exciting. It was horrible, but it was exciting. The good thing about it is that it encouraged and allowed and created an insisting situation that Pam do everything that we talked about for the last two or three years. She said, she tore it down. I mean,
It
is torn down. She said, while we've got it down, we're just going to make a list, and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So that's been the upside to that. So thank you, porno industry, for that. However, I did not appreciate the embarrassment.
Did you get all the spam comments?
I'm sorry?
All the spam comments?
The Sam comments?
Yeah, they fill up your comment sections, and were they sending mail out through you?
I think they were sending mail out as well, but when you pulled up my website, it was a porno website. There was nothing about Elaine Ireland there. My name was at the top. It looked like I had set it up, and it was the one with Paris Hilton right in the middle of it.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. And no matter what navigation bar you hit, it went to the same place.
Yeah.
So poor Pam, she was out of state, and a friend of mine called one night, and he said, Elaine, have you been on your site in the last couple of days? And I said, no, not, in fact, a couple of days. He said, well, I'm going to sit here while you go on. Thank you, David, very much. Thank you very much. So I called Pam, left a message for her, just simply said, call me, Pam, this is urgent. When she called me a couple hours later, she said, okay, you know, she was there for her stepfather's funeral, and I said, Pam, you need to go on my website and destroy it. What? I said, you'll understand when you see it. So she had her laptop out, and I waited on it, and she went on the line, and she said, holy cow, I will take care of this right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to look at the sunshine. We got to do other things, and it will be bigger and better when it comes back on.
Exactly.
And she's making all those changes, but I'm going to have to tell her, please by October the 10th, because you want, what, 5 to 7 days before it actually hits?
Yeah.
And it hangs on another 5 to 7 days. What other planets do we need to look for?
Well, the other thing is, well, there's something else that I've touched on in the past, and we're still dealing with this. Even as we speak right now, Venus is retrograde.
Is it still? I thought we were out of it.
No, it's going to be retrograde just a couple more days. Anyway, we're not quite out of it, but it's close enough that, you know, you can call it on retrograde right now if you so desire.
Okay.
We've got Venus backwards on one side, and on the flip side of that, we've got Saturn, and Saturn and Venus just lined up with each other. And it's just adding a little bit of a one final kick to that to make sure that everything's okay. With Venus being backwards, I have not seen quite as many relationship blow-ups as I'm used to seeing. But I've seen, like, interpersonal relationships still kind of suffering.
Suffering. I've been seeing that with my clients.
Yeah.
A lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding, hurt feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It hurt my feelings when you said that.
Yeah, not understanding why things were said or done.
Bam.
Yeah.
So I watch it a little bit with that, and you got to be kind of careful on it, but it's still not altogether that bad. And this hasn't been as... I've warned enough of my people about it that they're sort of riding this one out. Now, the next one we've got coming up, though, Mars is going to be backwards. And it's going to be backwards. It's going to barely get into Leo. Then it's going to slide back down into Cancer. And it's going to be backwards from November 15th right on through to about January 30th.
And what effect does that have?
Mars. Drive. Come on. He's the god of war.
Yeah. So
drive and push. And all of a sudden, things don't start going as well as they were supposed to.
How can we make that a positive thing since drive and push and all that is in there? Can we switch the energy?
I don't plan to pitch any new ideas during that time.
Okay.
I'm going to answer my phone gently and once again, make sure I'm not going to be slapping any cars on the butt when they go by, even if they drive over my toes. I don't want to engage. I don't want to do something stupid. One of the things that I've already started doing, I was in one of the dollar stores the other day. There's one that's just walking distance from here. I was in one of the dollar stores the other day, and I started digging through the cards there, okay? And so the cards, the little greeting cards.
Uh-huh.
I started digging up the I'm sorry cards.
Oh, no.
I got a whole stack of these things. I didn't pay very much money for them. I'm happy about that, and I've got a big old stack of them ready to go because sure as can be, I'm going to say something that's going to be misinterpreted by somebody else, and I'm going to need to say I'm sorry, even though what I said was the right thing, and they just took it the wrong way.
You know, you
it's
think
it's not really my fault, but because I'm there, it is my fault, right?
Right, and you would think that that would be the sort of thing that would happen when Venus is in retro.
And Mars...
Yeah, rather than...
make people more bellicose.
Well, that's true, too.
And
that's true, too.
They get a little more... people get their little knickers in a twist a little bit faster.
Knickers in a Twist. I haven't heard that in a long time, Kramer. I love it.
And the British have a way of saying things. It just, you know, it's much better. But no, there's just a lot of little stuff that'll be going on at that time. Like I said, I got those cards ready, locked and loaded.
You were at the Chicago Fair. Where will you be next? And they can go online and see your schedule, right?
They can see my schedule online. It will be in Austin, October 6th and 7th, I believe it is. Body, Mind, Soul Expo. After that, I will be in El Paso, the 13th and 14th. And the weekend after that, I will be in Seattle. And the weekend after that, I will be in Portland.
Now, wait a minute. Aren't you going to be here November the 17th and 18th?
In November 17th and 18th, I will be in Austin again.
Yeah, you're gone every single weekend.
Yeah.
Folks, you can check out his schedule on www.astrofish.net. Kramer Wetzel, astrologer, has been our guest this evening. What parting words would you like to leave with our audience?
This is all about humanity. We're supposed to enjoy the ride.
Well, that's true.
It's just a test. If it was real, they would have, given us a better map, told us where to go, what to do.
So you think this is a practice run?
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Yeah. I hope it's a practice run. I'm trying to do really good this time.
You know, you and I both have a bent towards karma and a bent towards past lives and future lives. So in a sense, it is a practice run as far as our belief systems go.
Yeah.
I like that attitude. I do like, and I like the idea of sharing the ride. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And sharing what we can with other people as we go.
That's what I try to do.
Yep. Well, we're about to run out of time, folks. I would like to have had at least one phone call for Kramer. 1-877-270-8714, Canada. 1-888-288-4494. This is Elaine Ireland, Going Global for Spirit. This has been Kramer Wetzel. Again, you can find him at www.astrofish.net. You can reach him through that website. Do you want to leave a phone number or just have him go through the website?
Sure. 512-209-2200.
Say that again, nice and loud.
512-209-2200.
All right. Next week we have Elka. She's our rune lady. Kramer knows her. And we've been trying for months to get her on, and finally she's back from her worldly wanderings and is going to be joining us next Wednesday to talk to us about runes and her Nordic travels. Kramer, when will you be back again? Will you come back one more time before the end of the year?
I'd be glad to.
When do you want to come back? November, December?
Let's do November.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about November 15th.
Okay, I don't know if I've got the schedule that far out, but let me see. If I don't, well, I can always call you later and we can set it up. But
November 14th.
November the 14th?
Yep.
I don't have anybody scheduled yet, so we'll just do that. Okay, folks, you heard it here first. He will be back November the 14th at 8:30 Central Standard Time. And maybe we can talk to him about what's going to be happening in the following year. Of course, I want to have him back in January. And of course, hopefully answer questions about the years to come. They're going to chase me off the air. I have to say goodnight and thank you. Have fun. Don't forget to give somebody a lift along the way. And Kramer, thank you so much for being with me this evening. Safe travels, have fun, and I'll see you in November.
All right.
This has been Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland. Join us again next Wednesday, bbsradio.com. Good night, world.